Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too, Maplewood, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I want to read that one more time so that it sinks in. And in him, you too, Maplewood, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. Father, I pray that you just bless our time together here this morning. As we settle into our seats, I pray that we would give you our full attention, 100%, over the next 25 to 30 minutes. Help us, Lord. Feed us, guide us, and direct us, and most importantly, give us the strength to be obedient to the calling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's interesting, I think, when we talk about expanding or renovating the church, every single one of us, our first thought goes to construction. Doesn't it? We talk about renovations. We got the sound booth back there. We've made some little fixes here and there across the building over the past couple of years, and there's more to come. But when we think about renovating or expanding the church, all of us go to wood and hammer and nails and plaster and things like that. But if our focus is primarily or only on the physical building of the church, I think we missed the point. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning as we reflect on what's happened this past year and what's coming moving forward at Maplewood. We together as a family here at Maplewood, as followers of Jesus, are being built into the dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. As individuals, think of yourselves as different individual Lego blocks. Okay? You're a Lego block this morning. As individuals, in the new covenant brought forward by Christ, our bodies are the true temple where the Holy Spirit, where God resides, if we let him in to our hearts. And as a collective, we individual temples, when we come together, are being built into the dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You, as a Lego block, as an individual, are the temple of God as part of this new covenant. God lives in you. He no longer lives just in one geographic place, in a temple, in a holy of holies somewhere in the Middle East. When Jesus came, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And so now God, through his Holy Spirit, resides in those who call Jesus their Savior. And the Apostle Paul, he alludes to this in his first letter to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12 says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many," lots of Legos, "they form," we come together, "one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, Ohio State or Michigan fan. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many." We're all Legos. We're all your, this, so this isn't Pastor Joe just spinning you a yarn. This is scriptural. This is how Jesus views the body. It all starts deep individually in our souls. It all starts deep down in you. And again, I love this when I can come into the service and say, for everybody in the room, this sermon is for you. So listen up. God has something he wants to say to you this morning, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord or how short of a time you've walked with the Lord. This message is for you this morning. It all starts deep inside. Maplewood, our church, will only be as strong as our weakest link. Remember that TV show? You are the weakest link. Nobody wants to be that. Goodbye. Nobody wants to be the weakest link. So it makes me ask, have we truly allowed Jesus into our hearts? All the way in. Have we truly given him full access? Are we allowing him to act as the guiding authority in every aspect of our daily lives? We've been talking about the authority of Christ a lot this spring. Is that authority reflective in the way we live? In the way that we live, demonstrating grace and love and forgiveness even to those who don't deserve it? Or are we kind of guilty of playing church? We get gussied up for Sunday morning. We look good. We look the part. We play the part. But we really haven't given our hearts to Christ. We've given our hearts to some other authority. Now this all matters. I've been talking about the authority of Christ in our life building up to this time. We're all going someplace together. And as your pastor, I'm trying to shepherd us in a specific direction, the direction that I really believe the Father wants us to go. And it matters because together, we individually are being built into the church here at Maplewood. Your spiritual walk impacts the rest of the body. My spiritual walk impacts you. You want your spirit, you want your pastor to follow Jesus, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, you want your, I try, I fall short. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. I make mistakes all the time. Poor Tom and Deb, I left their reports out of the report. I'm not perfect. But we're being built together, folks, and it starts inside. Your spiritual walk, your spiritual journey has an impact on everybody else's spiritual journey. Even if you're not good friends with each other, even if you're not closely acquainted yet, your spiritual walk matters. Many may deep in their heart come into church believing deep down the story you tell yourself is, I'm unsavable. I don't feel savable. I'm here. I look the part. I'm here every Sunday. I'll raise my hand during the songs. I'll do what Pastor Vicky tells me to do. I'll sing the words on the screen. But deep down, I feel unworthy. I feel unsavable. Too deep in sin debt. I've got too much red on my ledger. Too far gone. We think this deep down. It's the narrative that really drives our life, that we're not worthy, that we're not savable. And that we're always going to be the weakest link. Deep down, maybe we've been beaten down by trial or tribulation, failure, foible, and we allow the enemy to tell us that we will always be the weakest link. Always tell us, you're never going to amount to anything spiritually. Why do you even try? If you feel like that or have felt like that, I want you to know that is the enemy speaking into your heart, trying to deceive you. And we as the church, we need to hear that. We need to be made aware of that. You know, I feel like the security guard. My dad was a security guard throughout his career. And as your pastor, sometimes it's my responsibility to come into our lives spiritually and shine a flashlight and say, hey, the enemy's in here trying to speak words of discouragement. And as soon as that light comes into the room, you know where the enemy goes? Out the door. So as your pastor this morning, if you're feeling unsavable, if you're feeling deep down the narrative of your story that you tell yourself personally in secret that nobody else hears, that you'll always be the weakest link, I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not true. Amen. That there is so much potential just in this room and with the people online. The 12 disciples changed the world. Think about what we could do as we join together to follow Jesus and to join in his ministry. The beautiful thing about embracing the authority is that when we embrace Christ, he takes our weaknesses, he takes that narrative sometimes that gets told in our minds. And Jesus gives us actually the power to be strong. Aren't you thankful for that? In our weaknesses, he's strong. He can be strong in the midst of our weakness. Scripture's full of weak links. If you really think about it, Scripture's full of people who have foibled or failed or have been just pushed down by trial or tribulation. I mean, just look at the stories of Peter and Paul in the New Testament. Peter abandoned Jesus and denied him 3 times. This is tough and rough. Peter says, I will go with you anywhere, Jesus. And as soon as the hammer falls, Peter's like a little wimp hiding in the corner. I don't know Jesus. What are you talking about? Big tough man. Some woman approaches him around the fire. Little lady, don't you know Jesus? I don't know him. Runs in fear. He fails. He was the worst of the worst in terms of failure. Peter was the captain of putting the foot in his mouth. He jumped in the water with Jesus, took a step and sank. Right? I mean, Peter, he just time and time again, he fails, and yet Christ takes this flawed human being and makes him a key leader in the early formation of our Christian faith. And the same thing with Paul. Paul was public enemy number one, anybody who called themselves a Christian. If you read in the book of Acts, Paul was radically transformed. I mean, he was setting out to kill Christians, to throw them in jail. He wanted to end it as a Pharisee. But he's radically transformed when he embraced Christ and became a pivotal figure in our faith. He wrote half the New Testament. He helped shape our theology. Outside of the words of Jesus, Paul is probably the most influential of the apostles in the New Testament. And even Paul acknowledges how God works in and through our weaknesses in the second letter he wrote to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. If you're feeling that undertow of that, you're the weakest link. You're never going to amount to much. You're always going to be a failure. You're always going to be a screw up. Why even try? If you're hearing that voice of the enemy speaking that lie into your heart, maybe has embedded it so much that you actually are living like it's true. Paul writes to us in the words of Jesus. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Even if we think we're not worth anything, folks, we're worth everything to Jesus. Even if we think we're the weakest link, when we embrace his authority, he can make us strong. Amen. And through our weakness, he can weave a beautiful story to point other men, women, and children in our circles of influence to the cross and to Christ. As we move into the new church here, I want to be careful about, and this is a warning for us, okay? I want to be careful about being overly obsessed with buildings and programs. Okay? I want us to be, as your shepherd, I want us to be very, very mindful about being overly obsessed with buildings and programs and numbers, which is what we get caught up in a lot of the time as churches. Instead, Maplewood, as we move into this new church year, I really believe that the Lord wants us to be obsessed and focused not on the renovation of the building, but the renovation of our souls. That's got to be first. The renovation of our souls, allowing Christ to gut us down to the studs, if necessary, so that we can be remade into the people he needs at Maplewood to keep this ministry moving into the future. If you've ever remodeled an old house before, we bought an old house back in 1998 in Marysville, and a couple of the bedrooms were old and nasty. They had plaster and lath on them. We went in and we ripped the plaster and lath down to the studs, down to the frame of the house. And we transformed that old, nasty-looking room into something that was really quite special and quite nice. Are we willing for the Lord to do that in our hearts? Spiritually, we have to get this right inside our hearts as individuals before we can ever be thinking about physical buildings and programs. Sometimes we wonder why we get things wrong as a church. Sometimes why we stumble as organizations. It's because we're focused on the wrong renovation. We must be focused on a renovation of our souls. And it has to happen in each of us for Maplewood to realize its full potential and move into its next chapter. Because inside each of you Lego pieces, there is a bountiful, unique potential that is waiting to be sprung open and sprung out into the world to advance the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe that? You may say, oh, Pastor, I'm too old. Nope. You are, you know those trick snake cans where you open the can and the snake flies out? This is kind of, you know, what you're like. There's potential in each and every member of the body, regardless of your age, regardless of how fresh you are in your faith or how mature you are in your faith. You have potential. And this has to happen, this renovation of the heart has to happen in each of us if we're to move forward and realize God's will. Now, looking back on the past church year, there's been a lot of cool things that have happened, right? And I really believe it's because we have people that have been committed to the Lord, committed in ministry, focused on following Jesus in their lives. Last May, on Mother's Day Sunday, was the last Sunday that I preached for like 6 or 7 months almost, it felt like, because my back went out. Let's pray that that doesn't happen on Mother's Day this year. But I'm feeling pretty good, actually, a year out from all of that. But in the midst of even me not being around, so many of you stood up and took the mantle of leadership in building the kingdom. We had a dozen children commit their hearts to Christ at VBS last summer. That's pretty cool for a church our size. A dozen children accepting Jesus. We've had several new faces across the year in our church, and we are so glad that you're with us. We have 3 young people who've told me personally they want to be baptized, so we're going to do that here pretty soon in the summer. We have a handful of people who are interested in exploring membership at Maplewood. We're going to be taking care of that this summer. Last fall, we started initiating grow groups, Acts 242 groups, whatever you want to call them. But we started initiating small groups outside of the church meeting so that people could gather together and study the Word. In your bulletin, every week, you're going to find questions. This morning, if you look on the other side of the main part of your bulletin, there are grow group questions. And if you want to start a group, you go for it. If you want to get some friends together and just, these questions are based on the sermon. It's just a way to go a little deeper with the sermon that we speak on Sunday mornings so that you can ingest it and study it together in community and so that you can take that a little bit deeper in your walk with Jesus. These grow groups are working and we're going to continue to encourage and foster the development of those groups across our congregation because we need connection and we need to get deeper in the Word. We made updates to our facilities. We've already talked about that. We have a church exploratory committee. I was hoping that committee would have made a ton of progress this past year, but I was on my back and it didn't happen. So just in February, we transferred the conversation of that committee to the church board. And so our new church board will be picking up quarterly this exploratory committee conversation so we can continue to move forward and figuring out strategically what we need to do in our church, not just with the buildings, but in terms of ministry, so that we can play our unique role in Springfield. This is one I love, if you think about it in this past year. Do you know Maplewood is a sending church? We are ascending. What do I mean by that? Pastor Ed Klett was our community pastor for several years, and he felt a call to take the senior pastorate at Kennard Church of the Nazarene. And I don't know how long it's been since Maplewood sent out a pastor to pastor another church. But growing churches, healthy churches, are churches that send people out. They send people out into ministry. And if you think about Ed and Melissa's story and how a decade or just a little over a decade ago, they were living a life of sin and how God turned their lives around. And as they were discipled here at Maplewood. And Brother Bill, I know, was deeply invested in them. And you know, they were moved along from life of sin to salvation to holiness, knowledge of the Word, and then called by the Lord into ministry. And here they are pastoring a church. And I think that's exciting. I think that's wonderful. That's something we should be celebrating. And then most importantly, we've seen spiritual growth in both expected and unexpected places. Pastor Vicky said it so well earlier today. We count it a privilege to be your pastors. We count it a privilege to walk alongside you. We're not perfect. You're never going to find a perfect pastor. We make mistakes. We miss things. But we try our hardest, I tell you what. And what a year. Give Pastor Vicky a hand because... Whew. Without her, I'd be sunk. And especially this year, I was on my back for several months, and she was taking care of me. And you all granted us grace so that she could take care of me. And then she took care of you while I was out. And this past spring, I've been taking care of her while she's been kind of on the down low. So, but it's been a great year, even though we've had challenges. God has worked in and through what we've been doing. I just want to thank everybody who played a role in the building of the kingdom at Maplewood this past year. We have accomplished a lot. Some of it wasn't what we expected. This past year wasn't what I expected. But we follow the Lord along the way, and He is faithful. Amen? Amen. All of us, moving forward, have a role to play. I want us to realize this morning as we close. All of us have a role in the future at Maplewood. It's not just the church board. It's not just the pastors. All of us have a role to play, something to contribute to forging the path into Maplewood's future. Every single one of us have something to contribute. I've been studying the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and we're told the story about how the refugees of Israel returned home to Jerusalem, which had been burnt down and destroyed by bad guys. The walls to the city were torn down, and a benefactor king came forward and allowed the people of Israel to return to their land. The people were scattered all over the world, kind of like today. The Jewish people were scattered all over the world, and the best and brightest among them had been kidnapped and taken away in slavery to a far-off land. And after many, many generations of that captivity, God was again moving in their midst, freed them, wanted to help them to build something new. And what I love about the story of Nehemiah, if you read about it in the Old Testament, is how inclusive the story of Nehemiah is. People had gathered from across the world to return to Jerusalem. The word got out. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have television. They didn't have radio. They didn't have Morse code. But somehow the word got out and people started coming home. They started coming home. And as they got there, the walls to the city had been demolished and all the buildings and the gates that they remembered around the city, the beautiful city of Jerusalem that they had heard in stories, were just in tatters and destroyed all over the place. But looking on the scene when all hope should have been lost, Nehemiah brings new hope to these refugees who are coming home. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, you can read this later. In Nehemiah chapter 2, it says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire.' And Nehemiah said to the Israelites, 'Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me.' And they replied," the people replied to Nehemiah the priest, "'Let us start rebuilding.'" The people are invested. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the priest in this story saying, "Let us rebuild." The people reply and say, yes, let us rebuild, let us build, let's do something new. Let's carry something new into the future. They didn't call a board meeting and ask the trustees to take care of it all. Because that's what we typically do, right? If you're a trustee, you're like, praise the Lord. They didn't get the stewards together and say, hey, well, the trustees build it. You guys fix them a meal. They didn't hire someone to do it. They didn't go out and hire somebody to do this work. And as we see this story, I think it's amazing. If you read this story, as we see it unfold, everybody pitches in. Everybody in the Jewish community that had come back to Jerusalem has something to contribute to the rebuilding of Jerusalem, to the building of the future of the nation of Israel. You just look at Nehemiah chapter 3, and forgive me with the names here. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests, they went to work and built the sheep gate. They rebuilt the sheep gate. Further on in verse 3, the fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. Verse 6, the Jeshana gate was repaired by Joida, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Boizadiah. In verse 13, the valley gate was repaired by Hanan and the residents of Zenoa. And this goes on and on and on throughout the next several chapters. Family after family, individual after individual picks up a portion of the work to build the new wall around Jerusalem. Isn't that cool? Wasn't just one person, wasn't just one benefactor. Everybody contributed. Well, what does that have to do with me, Pastor? Here's my question for each of you, and I said this, Pastor, was for all of us this morning, and I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you a little bit, not just today, but over the next several weeks about the answer to this question. What part of Maplewood's future is God asking you and your household to help build anew? What part of Maplewood's future is God asking you and your household to help build anew? We all have a part, folks. If you don't do your part, something's not going to get done. We all play a unique role. We're all Legos. We all fit in somewhere into this puzzle of the house of God being built together. My ask would be that you seek out the Lord in prayer. Ask Him what section of the wall is yours to build. Seek the Lord regarding what your role is in building up Christ's body. It may not be building something in the building. It may be ministering to the spiritual needs of a special group of people that aren't being ministered to right now in our congregation. And while we all have specific roles to play, there are several things we all should be doing that God requires of us. Everyone's role is to go deeper in the Word. Everyone's role, you can't say, well, I'm over here going deeper in the Word, so I can't do it. Everyone's role is to go deeper in the Word. Guess what? Over the next couple of weeks, between now and Father's Day, we're going to be specifically talking about how to study your Bible. We assume that people get that and people know that and why that's important. But in this day and age, we are losing sight of the significance of the Word in our lives. The living Word of God. It's everybody's responsibility to go deeper in the Word. It's everybody's role to become a stronger partner in prayer. What can you do to amp up your prayer life over the next church year? We'll talk about that later in the summer. It's everyone's role to become a stronger agent of justice in your circle of influence. Literally, what would Jesus do in your situation? How would He bring love and justice and mercy to the circumstances that you find yourself in? And it's everyone's role to become an investor in the ministry of the church. Tithing is important. I hate talking about it. But guess what, folks? It's part of walking with Jesus. Amen. You're like, ew. When we give Him our all, we give Him our all. And guess what? I promise to be just as invested or more invested than anybody else in this church with my wallet. Okay? I'm in. Because God, not because I'm your pastor, because God has taught me over the years that if I want to receive his full blessing, I've got to be in financially, investing in ministry with my wallet. I'm in. I wouldn't ask anybody to do anything I'm not. But I can guarantee you I will be as invested as you are. And it's not I'm doing more than you are or anything. No, I'm in. I just want you to know as your pastor, when I preach to you with these fingers, there's other fingers pointing right back at me on that particular topic. And I'm not asking you to do anything I don't do myself. I don't want your money. I don't want your money. God wants our hearts. He wants all of us. Everyone's role is to become an investor in the mission. And it's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. Right? We can't all give equally, but we can all sacrifice equally in giving to the Lord. This, folks, this is what it means to renovate the church. This is what it means to renovate the church. It starts within each of us in our personal walk with Christ. And once the business in here gets right and is addressed, then we can get to the business of our facilities and our programs and our staffing and our ministry to the community. Our mission as a church remains the same. We're learning to love God and we're learning to love other people one person at a time. And how do we do that? We commit to going deeper with Jesus than we ever have before in our lives. You know, you're going to get sick of hearing me say that, but this is what it's really about. It's about personally going deeper with Jesus than we've ever gone before. Who are we trying to reach in Maplewood? We're investing in our children and our young people. That's what Extra is about on Sunday night. That's what having a children's minister is like. Do we need more staffing to do that? Who knows? We should be praying about that. We're focusing on our grown children and others in our circle of influence who knew Jesus at one time but have forgotten him. We want them to come back to Christ. We want them to come back into a relationship with Jesus too. And we're also focused on people who've never given Jesus a fair shot at all before in their lives to bring the good news to those who don't know. And at Maplewood, we're uniquely positioned as a church in this community to meet a niche of people that can't find love and acceptance and ministry anywhere else. I love our church because we will accept everybody into the walls of our ministry and into the family. And we have this unique community of folks who are unique with special needs that we love as our family, as our own family. I love that this is a place where they can come and be a part of us and be a part of our family and know that their pastor loves them and they are loved. And we love the caregivers of those folks too. There's not many churches that would be willing to do that. Did you know that? And that's something special that we can lean into here at Maplewood through the love of Christ. We're also, I think, just in a really good position to explore and think big about what the future of our ministry is going to be here in terms of facilities. It's one of the things that our committee has been looking at. How do we remake or transform our current setup so that it is accessible and useful for ministry to these groups that we're trying to reach? And God will have to lead us into that, and God will have to lead us through that. Lord, in our weakness, make us strong. I do not want to be the weakest link. I want you to all say that with me. I do not want to be the weakest link. In our weakness, he is strong. Amen. In our weakness, we may see all sorts of challenges all around. But Father, show us our unique part in the role of Maplewood's future that we should participate in. Help us to grow in your word. Help us to grow in prayer. And as we press forward, I want us to remember the promise that Paul made to the Ephesians. And in him, you too are being built. We're being built. As we do this together, we're being shaped and formed into the likeness of Christ. Do you know, as we participate in our faith together and as we go forward in ministry together here at Maplewood, we're being built. We're being shaped. We're being formed. So if you're sitting on the sidelines and not participating, you can't receive the benefit of that being built and being shaped and being formed. But it's in the doing that we're shaped and we're formed. And I want us to see that in the coming year. We've had a great church year, but I really believe the best is to come. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe the best is to come for Maplewood. And my prayer is that none of us would allow the enemy to speak those lies into our ears, making us think that we're the weakest link. We all have something to offer up, and it's unique, and I believe it's going to be beautiful. And what has happened here is beautiful. You are beautiful to me. I love each and every one of you. Not the perfect pastor. I don't think you'll ever find one. But I am thrilled to be here walking with each and every one of you. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in and through us in the days to come.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.